You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Khumans Garden Centre.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Khumans Garden Centre, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden centre, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Khumans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations and our sponsor, Jeremy Fenn from Harry Khumans Garden Centre. Hello, hello. Good morning, good morning. Sorry about that. Something went, it just went off.
No, it happens.
Just went off. Right, so good morning, David.
Nice to see you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the show 2 weeks ago, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
We did miss you because he tried to trick me. He tried to put me on the spot.
Hey, the gardening quiz.
Yeah. In fact, I'm on the spot today, Sue, so I'm in your shoes. Don't worry.
Yes, so thank you.
He's getting revenge. But I must say, he came to party very early last week. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank goodness it's between you and you now, and I'm going to sit back.
Awesome. So, if memory serves correct, Jeremy, we decided we're going to chat about lawn today, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time coming because it's one of your passions. And I thought we would just go through different things about the grass. And so I'll ask the questions and then you'll give the comprehensive answers.
And if I don't know, I'm going to phone my guy Jeremy from Harry Cummins and ask him if it's...
Yeah, so the first thing I wanted to ask is what kind of lawns are mostly in the gardens in our area, and what are your thoughts on like the strengths or the weaknesses or the pros and cons, or why do you like them and not like them?
So I suppose you're going to have to go one step back there, and I love lawn, but the problem with the lawn is if you look at the way the world's going, is the grass uses water. It is a water consumer of note, and it doesn't matter what type of grass you have. I think people are misconstrued when they talk about an indigenous lawn. Yes, it's indigenous, meaning that it's grown in the region, which makes it more usable, should I say. But so, for example, buffalo, we've spoken about it many times, Jeremy. Just because you put buffalo down doesn't mean that you can lay it and walk away from it and never look at it again.
Yeah.
It takes a hell of a lot of care, a lot of water to get it to a point that it does actually sustain itself. And it kind of kicks over into all of our indigenous plants as well. I think people are under the impression that it's you plant a succulent even under... Let's look at the weather today, Jeremy. I mean, it's 36 degrees out there today. So let's say I'm on a landscaping job and I'm planting grass, you know, or plants. I can't just lay something down today and walk away from it and expect it to take and to work. So I think people need to get out of their head that that different lawns require you don't have to water any lawn. I think there is a truth to that when a buffalo lawn has been established over a year or two. I do think there's a point where it does eventually start maintaining itself. I've got a house in Scarborough, which is like almost on the beach, and believe it or not, the buffalo lawn is beautiful in the front there. But remember, it's beautiful because it was established well. And second of all, something that people don't realize is that it gets no traffic.
That's what I was going to say. Probably has no dogs, no traffic.
Nothing. So it looks great. A buffalo lawn really suffers under high usage areas. So if you've got animals and they run a track in it, you know, it will never come back. It really suffers under shade aspects. So you've got to watch that as well. So I am fortunately, I'm going back to the original question. I am unfortunately a kikui lover as a landscaper.
Yes.
I get mown at it quite a lot. But I must say the thing about the kikui grass is I've seen a lot of clients that will lay a indigenous lawn that's indigenous to Cape Town, do the normal aspects of watering it, getting it in, getting it sustained or established, should I say. And then they sort of have a mindset that it's like, well, now that it's established, we don't really have to worry about it too much. But the thing about that is if one blade of kikui manages to find its way into that lawn, as we both know, Jeremy, the kikui is an immense grower. I mean, dash of water and it grows 2 centimeters at nighttime, you know.
Yep.
I mean, I've got kikui mixed with berea because I've got a lot of shade with my beautiful trees across the way here. So I water for at least 45 minutes to an hour on each of my zones. I'm very privileged to have underground water, though. Yes, it costs me a bit of electricity, and I need to watch that. But I'll mow my lawn and wake up the next morning, and it really looks like it needs another mow. So that is what Kukui does.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of it, and I find that it is very strong once it takes. You know, but it's not only strong. It can handle the traffic, Jeremy. It can handle the kids playing on it. It's soft to lay on. You know, it's mm-hmm. just a beautiful grass. But I must say, Jeremy, the Berea lawn that I get from you, it's slowly creeping into my heart as my new favorite lawn. I just think Berea lawn, also known as LM grass, is just it's shade loving, it's sun loving, it's green, it's just beautiful. And I truly think that in the indigenous aspect, people should be looking at probably using Berea lawn. We have a lot of complexes around our valley, and they don't allow you to plant Kukui there anyway. You always have to go with a Sonodan or a Buffalo or a Berea. Although, Jim, I'm going to ask you now, do they classify Berea as an indigenous lawn to Cape Town?
I don't know. No, it's not.
It's not, is it?
No. I think it's African.
Okay.
It's an African grass, but I don't think it's not indigenous to here. I mean, I don't think even buffalo
100%
would be. The only one would be that quick, that sort of that thing that you, that very fine.
Snowden, quick, fine. Yeah.
I mean, the Synodon, there's a couple of different ones, but the quick is the sort of common scrubby grass, but that takes like zero traffic.
Yeah,
so you can't really use that.
100%. I've also noticed that in the States where I've seen, if it is quick, because I think people get, I also still learn the difference between lawns. It's a very slow grower as well, and doesn't need to be mowed much at all, which that also indicates that it's not really great on the traffic, because something that doesn't grow fast enough, if it gets beaten down and you try to water it, to feed it, to get it to grow, it just is not catching up with the elements that are hitting it. So I think when it comes to grass, Jeremy, it's always something I sit down with the clients. First of all, we look at the area. I don't fight shade at all. I don't fight bad areas. I always tell the clients, rather bring out your beds, plant shade loving plants under there. You know, there's a massive variety at your nursery of beautiful indigenous shade loving plants, which is something we're very blessed to have, which look absolutely awesome under there. So I hope that answers your first question.
Yeah. So we got the Kikuyu, we got the Buffalo, and Synodon. You can use that very fine grass as well, but not extremely high traffic areas. And then the Berea we talked about, which is also, it's very good because of the shade.
Yeah.
I really, really promote that because it can go in sun and shade, like you've said. And then what about possibly some lawn alternatives? Just on it, like, you know, like a Wonder Lawn.
So the Wonder Lawn, my only problem is with the Wonder Lawn is I can't get it in six packs or in trays. I can only get it in seed. And seeds in, I actually did that one in Scarborough. Remember, I bought the box from you not a month ago. And I laid it, I spoke to the client 2 days ago. He's got a few tough shooting, but it really takes a lot of effort. And after the fact, we were reading about it. So if you're trying to lay a seed grass, he was telling me that he did some investigating. I love learning, and I think that's what makes us so good together. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. I said to the client that I'm not too familiar with seed planting, but he was reading books and saying that if you're going to plant it, you should actually put it in a bucket of water and soak it for a day so that it almost is already at germination phase, and then you lay it in your soil. So I didn't have such good results with the Wonder Lawn, and I would imagine, Jeremy, that the other problem with laying a seed lawn is if you have animals or kids.
Yeah, you've got to keep that area totally out of it.
Completely closed off, you know. Even the beautiful lawn plugs that you sell. So you can go to Jeremy's nursery and buy the most beautiful trays of grass. I'm a fan of using grass plugs. I did a job in Cape Town where the area is just too small to get roll on.
Yeah.
So I think I bought six trays from you, and within, you know, we planted them 5 centimeters apart. It's already a fully established Berea lawn in the corner of a little flat, shade loving. It's absolutely beautiful. But the same token goes is that if you have a high traffic animal area, cats, believe it or not, like to dig. People don't realize, but cats like to dig. So you've got to, again, look at your environment, find the right grass for what you want, and then make sure that you get the right lawn down. The other thing is what you put under it is obviously very essential, Jeremy.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
I
was going to ask you your process of actually establishing a grass.
So again, look at the area. It's we live in a lot of white sand this side of the world.
Yeah.
So nice thick compost, which you can buy from Jeremy in cubes.
No, only bags. Yeah. Only bags.
I'm teasing. And that was a weird one, but yeah, no. So you've got to bring in some coarse, thick manure, obviously, Jeremy. A lot of people don't realize that you never want to put any root of either be it grass or plants on direct compost anyway, because it can burn the roots. So you want to make sure that you always mix your compost in well with your soil that's on site. I then like to put a superphosphate into my mix, basically, because phosphates are for strong rooting. I learned many years ago, unfortunately, bone meal, as much as it's an amazing product, again, just because you don't have an animal doesn't mean a cat doesn't come over from next door, and they really are attracted to the bone meal. So it's something that it's
also could be a bit slow for the soil to process and get that, make the phosphates available.
100%.
Where the superphosphate, that chemical, it's obviously just sitting there, phosphate ready to go. So that would stimulate, especially when you're doing a roll-on grass, you want 100%. Those roots to take immediately.
100%.
But I was just going to ask you now, how do you work out how much compost to put into the soil?
So basically what I do...
What is your rule of thumb?
Well, I usually use about obviously the mass area, but again, it's the quality of the soil first. So you can always get a soil sample if need be, and we can send that away. But generally, I would always put about a 2 to 5 centimeter thick layer of compost down.
Mm-hmm.
That's spread evenly over the top. So obviously, if I know that the lawn is 10 meters by 5 meters, that's a 50 square meter lawn, then you times the 50 by 0.005, because 0.05 would be a half a meter layer of compost, yeah, which is a lot of compost, Jeremy. And then you would work out your quantities like that. Obviously, get your cubic meters delivered. And it also is very important to look at your the aspects of the superphosphate. So a lot of people will just buy a bag and try to cover like 400 square meters with a bag. It doesn't work that way. You know, everything is worked out to the quantities. You know how the fertilizers go. We spoke a lot about
like
them.
50 grams a square meter, exactly, or something. So you have to
make sure you get that right as well. Because there's no point. It becomes worse than bone meal then, like you just said. You're putting three chemical points down on a square meter, it ain't going to make much difference to you, Jeremy, to be honest. But again, I think just the key aspect is we take another step back, and it is becoming a problem in the world because we're all trying to be conscious of our environment, and you know, we don't want to waste water. But the key to any good grass anywhere, anytime, is just a good water, to be honest, Jeremy. And that's why I'm such an advocate for a good working irrigation system,
mm-hmm,
because even my wonderful clients who do water, but they don't have an irrigation system. The problem is when you're standing on the hose and you've got 250 square meters of grass to water, by the time you've watered that area for 15 minutes, which is still not enough, you've still got 200 squares to water. So that's why I always advocate for a good irrigation system. And you don't even have to have an irrigation system if it's going to be too expensive. I know at your nursery, Jeremy, and I've bought 3 of them over the last 6 months for my clients. You have a wonderful little metal stake that's got a hose connection, Jeremy, that you can put your rotor onto it. And if the people come into you, it's very easy to learn how to adjust your rotor, obviously from left with the rainbirds, you know, your size of your angles. And if they just put it, for example, on the edge of their pool, which is a 180-degree edge, and they set it up correctly, it's even easy to run a pipe from that one to another one. And you don't have to have a fully capable irrigation system installed. You just have to have something that covers the area well and that precipitates well in it. Because again, it's about, you know, the time.
We do sell those larger impact sprinklers as well.
100%.
So now, setting up one or two of those,
is crucial.
You get a lot of water coming out, and you can cover a much bigger area than an irrigation system 100%. If you don't want to put in a, you know, like a full-on.
Yeah, and I was standing there with Steve the other day at your place, and he's very knowledgeable on the sprayer. So if anybody needs to know, they can chat to Steve at your nursery, and he's really good to give advice, or we can chat as well. So
yeah, exactly. And I was just going to say that those, you could even start with a manual system. You could lay an irrigation if you don't want to go the solenoid and the controller route. You can still have a system that you can manually turn on with valves.
100%.
And
ball valves.
Then you can at least turn on that section and go, okay, well, you know, half an hour later, come turn that ball valve off and put the other one on. And then at least you can
100%. Do it. And again, Jeremy, I go back another step. The reason why I encourage it is, you know, they're going, oh, but we're using council water. It's like, yeah, but sir, or ma'am, you're standing with a hose spraying that area. You're going to use 4 times more water trying to water your lawn with a hose than having a system that's installed and precipitates correctly,
yes,
works and covers the area correctly, has the right nozzles in correctly, you know, all about the precipitation fall. I mean, so people don't realize that if you have we're sort of bordering both lines now, I suppose, but if you have a square lawn, for example, and you have a rota in the corner and a rota in the middle, you're gonna need to understand that the corner rota is going to need a 0.5 or a 1.5 nozzle, and the one that's in the middle is going to need a 3 nozzle.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, remember, the middle rota will turn on its axis 360, whereas the other one only does a 90-degree angle and keeps going back on itself. And the 1.5 nozzle will allow the same amount of water. So I've been to a house before where they have what we call a static spray jam, an MP pop-up, just that sprays in the corner.
Yeah.
And they've got a rota on the right side, and they're like, but why is that corner so lush and green all the time? And
yeah,
it's, well, sir, it's because when you run your irrigation for 25 minutes, that static spray is spraying that same area solidly for 25 minutes, but your rotor that you've got on that line is moving at a 180.
Yeah.
So as it moves, those areas aren't getting water.
And what's same amount of water.
Yeah, exactly.
So you should actually match your sprinklers
100%.
On the same line. The same sprinklers should be, so that your precipitation rate is exactly the same.
That's it, Jeremy. Exactly that, my man.
If you just tuned in, good morning, Huyamora, and welcome. We are busy with David Parker from Budding Inspirations. And David, why are you laughing?
Because I just injured myself in your chair.
You're all over your toes.
Richard, come on. No, that wasn't. Anyway, my fault. But we're going to carry on with our question. But before we do, during that very short music break, Jenny Sue, Jeremy informed me about daisy lawn, which I now know what it is, but I've never seen it before.
What is a daisy lawn?
So early on, when he asked me the first question, he was talking about substitutes. And I must say something. Besides when I get really deep shade, I don't normally get asked for substitutes of actual lawn for big areas. But during the break now, I was just having a look here with Jeremy, and I've got to be honest, I'm pretty taken back. There's some absolutely beautiful substitutes. I mean, I know this one quite well, a Damondia.
Yeah.
But I normally use a Damondia if I'm building a rock pathway, and I find that it binds the rocks beautifully together. Yeah. I do find it to be an extremely slow grower. Slow. So when you plant it, the actual one that you plant never sort of seeds itself.
No, it just
it's
multiplies.
Individual plants, and it kind of takes a long time to multiply. But the one that's really fascinated me, Jeremy, and I've seen it loads of times, but must say, have now learned that it is this. It's the daisy lawn. I mean, it looks absolutely beautiful, Jeremy.
Yeah, we've got some. If you come to the nursery in the play park,
Okay.
We've got some growing there. We introduced it into the area there. So there's a bit of mix of cuckoo and some daisy lawn and some other things going on. All
beautiful,
but it
and
seems
how would
to
you sell this though, Jeremy? Do you sell this in six packs?
Plus? Yeah, six packs,
200 trays. No,
no, not. I don't know if we get in the 200 trays, but definitely in the six packs.
Okay, because I was telling you about my clients in Scarborough, and I think, I didn't actually even know this, and I perhaps should have spoken to you first. So I might even suggest this to him.
Yeah,
but I mentioned to you in the break, Pennyroyal is also a beautiful ground cover, but again, I've used it more for shade because I find the Pennyroyal takes shade quite well. But it also, when you walk in it, you get the most beautiful smell. But we don't think about that for a mass lawn, to be honest.
No, I'd say between pavers, shade areas.
Looks stunning for clients. So
There's also those like Ophiopogon. You can use between pavers.
Japonicus, I've got it right here. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So that also works really nicely. Probably also more shady. But that Diamondia definitely between pavers, that's really good.
Okay, cool, Sham. I just wanted to recap that. So, you want to move on to your next question?
Well, we've probably spoken about it already, but the different options of how you get the grass.
Yes.
So there's the roll-on. We talked about the plugs and the seeds.
So right back to the beginning of the conversation when I mentioned Kukui, I think in my heart, when I also know the cost of living at the moment, it's the reason why I push for Kukui quite a bit. Is because I know once it's down in the right place, it's hardy, it's strong.
Mm.
But I also know, Jeremy, that the Kukui is half the price of Buffalo and Berea at the moment. So if you're looking to get a square meter of Buffalo Berea, Sue, it's literally 100 rand a square at the moment, or 50 rand a square of the Kukui. Obviously, that is not including your delivery and your laying, and you'd have to talk to the suppliers or to us as the installers, the landscapers.
Mm.
But you know, when you're doing a 200 square meter area, and you're quoting at 50 rand a square for Kukui, and then you go for the 100, I mean, it's like 20,000 rand, you know, for buffalo law. So people don't realize that aspect there. And then again, I'm not one to not encourage work, but it's a case of like, so if we're putting 20,000 rand a lawn down, have you got the facility to water? Are you going to make sure we mow? You know, and so on and so on, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I always try and offer, in my quotes, I try and offer a two-mow follow-up. purely that we can see how it's looking. We can mow it correctly. You never want to mow a lawn that's been laid immediately. You want to leave it to take root for a while, and that's why you've got to let it root nicely. And that's why I encourage major watering for the first week of that lawn going down, no matter what the lawn species. Just water, 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 water. And then if you think you water more, water some more. And then you'll find that the roots will go. I'm also finding, Jeremy, that something that I'm starting to really think about a lot more, and it's actually not a bad option for clients that don't have irrigation, Jeremy, and battle to water. I speak a lot about starting the work that we're going to do in, because just to go back one step, people think you can't lay grass in winter. You can 100% lay grass throughout the year.
I don't know about buffalo, but I would say definitely kikuyu.
Yes, 100%. Berea also. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, I think, Jeremy, you can, but it has to be in a full sun, like no shade area in winter. That's like proper, no trees, nothing around. Then you can. And again, no traffic.
It doesn't actually grow in the wintertime. Not at all. So it's just sitting there.
100%. But the reason why the other ones I encourage is because if they don't have a watering system, Sue, then what happens is in May we get colder weather, and then from May to about August, September, we have rain and drizzle. So we encourage all our clients to do some planting in that, you know, like the indigenous trees. We put a lot of those in during winter so that they can actually establish through the winter period.
Yes.
I'm not saying that when summer comes around or spring comes around that you're not going to have to worry about watering again. But what I am saying is that there would be a form of establishment that's taken place that's going to help the trees already be a bit stronger for the next season than that. So you mentioned the types. 4 minutes and counting, and then we'll just talk about the plugs.
So Rolon is actually solid blocks of 100%. Grass that's already growed.
100%.
Growed.
Growing.
Growed?
No, grown. It has been growed to be laid.
and it comes from maybe a farm out Somerset West, 100%. And then they cut it out of the ground.
Yeah.
With a bit of soil.
Yeah. 100%.
And then roll it up. And that's why it's called roll on, because you roll it out.
100%.
That's the roll on.
I like the plugs if you're trying to just fill an area, because again, without being rude, Jeremy, you look after them very well. Your nurseries, like, you water them and that. I am not advocating we're going to be finished. I'm not saying that you mustn't, but they, especially in this type of weather, you'll go down the road and you'll see poor guys standing on the road with grass and that. I'm not saying you mustn't support them, guys, but you don't know how long that grass has been sitting there for. You don't know if the roots have been exposed to the sun. So you see a lot of trucks and the roots are facing the sun. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, all you had to do was take some grass and roll it open the grass on itself with the green facing up to try and just keep all that moisture in. But again, just to finish off, if your area is too small for roll-on, again, plugs are a good way to go, or seed, or come down to Jeremy and have a look at that other lawn. And I just want to end off by saying, Jeremy, you talk about roll-on, something blew my mind though, that I was in Sea Point. You know that whole promenade?
Mm-hmm.
Just about 3 years ago, they were revamping that promenade.
Okay.
If you remember, they got irrigation, everything there. The roll-on there, Jeremy, it's like literally a 6-meter piece of lawn that they lift up with a truck and they lay it on, and one piece would cover my entire backyard. It's actually incredible, hey, when you think about that scale of... I mean, I know how heavy grass is when you're trying to roll it on. It's incredible, you know. So, Malaka, we kind of answered all the questions, I think. If anybody wants to know anything, they've got the WhatsApp studio number. You know, we can always answer some more questions down the line.
Yeah, we didn't get to much lawn care. But that'll be for next time.
You can cover. You've got 2 minutes to cover lawn care.
Well, we did actually, because we talked about mowing. And we did also
feed, rake, spray, move on.
Pests and fungus. So, I mean, there are some technicalities there. But what I've noticed in my grass at home is the hardy dars. And if you see those hardy dars picking in your lawn, that's probably a guarantee. I think we talked about it last time, the guarantee of those lawn caterpillars.
Okay.
And then I found one in the pool as well.
Okay.
So definitely lawn caterpillars going on. So you do need to use maybe a carbo spray or that 713 with the insecticide 100%. Over the top to take care of those, because those little caterpillars, they're chomping on the roots.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have...
And you'll find that they call it dollar spot, but that little brown spot starts getting bigger and bigger.
The fungus creeps in as well. Yeah. As soon as the weather changes, so we will have some colder nights coming up soon. 100%. And then the fungus will come in. So, yeah.
So I'm glad Jeremy spoke about that, because, to be honest, if I may say this, Jeremy is the king of knowing. I mean, he admits when he doesn't know, but generally 99% of the stuff that I've ever seen, Jeremy, he gives me wonderful advice as what to use. So I would actually chat to Jeremy if you find something. But just if you see you've got a spot and you think you want to test it, there's a very easy way to do that. And this will be the last thing we say, is to mix up a bucket of water and you put some sunlight liquid in there. But you want to put quite a bit in there, like just a good squeeze. Because what the sunlight liquid does is it makes the water very viscous. And what you do is you pour it over or around that area. Because remember, if there's a dead spot, that spot's already dead under there. So the insects will be eating it from the outside and growing it. So you want to go around the dead spot and you pour it slowly around. What happens as the water, it's very organic, but as the water goes through the soil, the insects who are that small, they can't breathe. So what happens is they all come to the surface to escape that particular watering. And then you can grab a picture of it, take it with you to Harry Gimmons and chat to the professionals there, and then they can put you on the right track as to how to sort that out.
That's awesome. Thank you. Well, and is there anything else you want to share before we say adios?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeremy. You're the man, brother. Give me some knuckles.
It's a pleasure.
You want to give out your numbers?
Cool. So thank you so much. So David Parker, Budding Inspirations. If you need anything, give me a call on 073-247-0351.
Jeremy?
Yeah, our number is 021-785-3201. We have been having a bit of problems with our voice over IP. It's a bit of a thing.
So I'm going to give out Jeremy's cell number.
Well, thank you for letting us know, because just as someone is trying to phone you and we can't, so you've got intermittent issues right now.
It's like in and out. Yeah. And, you know, one of those things where you log a call. And then get told, like, oh, no, 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, 72 hours is
something for the turnaround time. Yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to run a business here.
So if you're struggling to get through, you'll have to make your way to
Harry Gimmons. Yeah, send an email. Yeah, send an email. Come visit, definitely.
Right, so David and Jeremy, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise. And you'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Ciao, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Gimmons Garden Center.
Hi. I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Gimmons Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Gimmons Garden Center.